possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook's brother, Dalvin Cook, from earlier this offseason, talking about, he has no rooting interest in this, obviously, but he believes the Bills should lock up James Cook long term. He did mention there that, like, everything's steadily going up. It's not, except for touchdowns.
Right.
Which I'm not saying anything is, like, precipitously dropped off outside of his yards, his scrimmage yards total. But, like, outside of touchdowns, everything went down.
Yeah. I mean, big plays.
Big plays, yeah.
Explosive plays. That was something that did go up. Yeah, numerically, it doesn't look like there was a lot that actually did increase for him. And I don't know.
To be fair, if he played more of the last game or he also played the Jets game, we're probably having a different conversation. Probably. There's nuance here. Don't get me wrong. I just technically, that is not true.
Technically,
that is not
true. I'm not even going to say technically. Statistically, it's not true.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We promised the end of the last segment we'd be going back to the phones, and we will do that here as David is with us next. David, how are we doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I've been saying this since the beginning, when this all first started with his brother, where his brother basically stated that he deserves $20 million and this and that. And then Cook went to Twitter about him wanting $15 million. I'm still going to go with exactly what I said in the beginning. I think it is his brother being in his head. Listen, you put up 16 touchdowns last year. Your numbers are on the rise. They are. But at the same exact time, like, you're in a team right now that, in reality, the cap space is very tight because of the players that we have to play. I mean, that we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's he has to be – his brother's in his ear saying this and this and that, but he has to understand at the same exact time where his brother's not in the league anymore because of the fact of – him asking for more money. And then his brother's going to other teams. And then his performance is decreasing. So that's why his brother's not in there. And it feels like now he's trying to drag his brother down because of the performance that his brother has was possibly better than what he was. So it's hard to basically look at it. So,
yeah, David, thanks for the call. I don't know necessarily if he's dragging him down. I think it's really, to that point, Cook's career ends at 29. It's his final season.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old last year in Dallas. Josh Allen is 29 right now.
And he's got
Cook's career.
Comfortably 6 years. Comfortably.
Yeah. And Cook's career was done. I don't think it's dragging him down. It's to the point that we've been bringing up in the first hour, too, is it's running backs.
You have this
one real chance to get the big deal. Cook does get that. He gets it right towards the start of the 2021 season, I believe it is, and it's a 5-year, $63 million deal, good for $12.6 million per year.
There's a misconception going on about that, that he signs that deal and he just falls off the face
right,
of the
planet. Right, and I played into that a little bit as well.
The thing is that he does have a couple years of production left. It's that his explosiveness is gone. The advanced metrics look at him and go, this is not going to be a good contract anymore. He's losing his big playability. He's losing the explosive ability. And I think it's also because the running back position treats players so harshly in their opening contracts. It becomes remarkably simple. From little league up until the professionals, if you make it there, you are being asked every time, ad nauseum, without doubt, run into a pile of humanity and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of offensive linemen, it is, I may even say possibly more than offensive linemen, it has got to be the most physically taxing position in football because every play you have to get hit.
Every play.
Or you have to hit somebody.
Because even if you don't touch the rock, you're blocking.
Wide receivers?
And you're running into somebody that is bigger than you.
Wide receivers, you can shadow block.
Mm-hmm.
You can block someone without touching them.
Yep.
You can run routes and not have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs, sometimes they can run routes. Sometimes they're in pass pro, and you got to hit somebody. It is the most physically demanding skill position, without a doubt.
Maybe outside of tight end, but tight end, are they bigger guys usually?
Tight ends are bigger guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are built for that. Some of them have specific roles, like a blocking or receiving tight end.
Mm-hmm.
A running back, even the speedy scat back, why do you think LeSean McCoy lasted as long as he did? It's because he learned how to protect himself from hits. And he did it in such a unique way. He's one of the best that there's going to be. He will make the Hall of Fame.
I do hope so. I haven't thought about that in a while. I do hope so.
He will. He's got a ring now, too. Like, mm-hmm. Two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll make it. All of his accolades, and he's got a couple rings now with it to end his career. He's going to get in.
Yeah,
I don't know about first ballot, but he'll get in. But back to the point. Dalvin Cook signs that deal, and he still has a couple years left of production. And then it all falls off from there. But how often do you hear about it, the running back that he's there and then suddenly he's gone?
Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley is maybe the most famous example of recent memory of he is the engine of that early Sean McVay Rams offense. It's not Jared Goff. The offense really does move through Gurley. It lasts like a year and a half. And then he has knee arthritis, and that's it. I also will bring up, too, with Dalvin Cook and probably why, both, I guess, as a positive and a negative, depending on how you look at it, is pushing his brother James to get the contract. It's a long time ago, but Cook's rookie season was cut short for an ACL tear. He has to come back from it.
Right.
Immediately, his career started off with, this is not good, especially for your position. He does ultimately, 2019, 2020, really increase. The touchdowns are in double digits, what have you. It's 21 where, Derek, you've mentioned the explosive plays drop off, but even just his yards per game. I mean, in 2020, he's averaging 111.2 yards per game. It drops to 89.2. The touchdowns drop from 16 to 6. He drops 400 yards in total, and he only plays one less game. That's where it's a somewhat cautionary tale for teams, is that they gave him such a big contract. And almost immediately, because he does play that 2020 season under the contract, but it's 2020 where immediately the returns don't look as good. That's why I don't think anyone's ever brought up for Cook that it's going to be a five-year deal. No matter what money he gets, it's probably going to be about a three-year deal, like Kyren Williams, just because you can't really risk it. And I'll also say, too, for the running back as well, and this could play into Cook, and I know we've heard from fans as well that have said this, he's not used as much. That you can play into a positive of he's not on the field as much. He's not asked to pass block. So now he might have more years to give. And so maybe someone like James Cook will look to, I want to get $12 million here for 3 years, but the next contract, when he would be like 27, 28, get two more years, another $12 million per, because he still has legs to him. He has not taken the beating. You see a lot of NFL running backs that would get paid that amount of money do.
And considering, though, that like typically, even with as little or as much of a beating as a player can get, even the healthier running backs, at 30, you're considered an afterthought already.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cruel position at this point in terms of its evolution and the contracts and how they're negotiated at that point. Not just the contracts, but your draft stock.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's rare to see two running backs even get taken in the first round like this past year.
And before, I mean, well within our lifetimes, too. Like, that was the position you needed to take. You needed to have a good running back. You could take him early, and that was fine. Now, Saquon Barkley gets taken, what was he, second or third? He was second. He's taken second, and he's a 2,000-yard rusher. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame just from his Eagle career alone if it goes at least around this way for the next 2-3 years based off of running back shelf life.
But at the time, the Giants,
it was considered a horrendous pick, and he was considered a can't miss. And it was still considered a bad pick. Bijan Robinson out of Texas, Doak Walker Award winner. And for Atlanta, it was still considered not really a great pick.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
DeAndre Swift. Or not DeAndre Swift.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Thank you for at least knowing what I was trying to say there when I threw the wrong name out there. But the Lions, they have a two running back system that really predicates both of them being at their best. Because once you hit 30 as a running back in the NFL, they basically think of you as dead. Derrick Henry's the lone exception because I'm still of the mind that I think he was born in a test tube.
Yeah, like 6'3", 230, runs a 4.4. It just doesn't make sense.
No, none of Derrick Henry makes sense biologically, scientifically. So, of course, he's going to be fine playing into his 30s. And one of the few players that gets a contract in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it and I think, you said Todd Gurley. I really, really forgot that his career lasted 6 years.
It's a very short career.
Nick Chubb, probably done now.
Yeah,
after his knee injury,
everything around that sounds awful.
He has not been looking good so far in Texans camp, and that would be a 7-year career, and that's what the last two cut short by playing a combined 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it, and I want Cook to get paid. And I think it is. There's such a hard stance because the Bills, I think, are really of the mind of we can't afford to do this long term.
I mean, Bean has almost outright said it. When he talks about the James Cook extension, he always goes into, you know, you're looking 2-3 years down the road. You know, we pay this guy, but we can't pay 2-3 other guys. And for the Bills, especially at running back, they kind of like to do it by committee. They've done that for years, by the way. It's not just new with Cook. They did it with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. And Singletary saw much more of the snap count. I think he averaged around 60% with the Bills at the time. Moss ultimately is a miss for them. But now they've got this working, and they've got the offensive line figured out. They don't really want to. And I'll also say this as well. How much of an appetite would a lot of us have to pay James Cook if Keon Coleman had 900 yards and 10 touchdowns last year in his rookie year? I think that's a big part of why some people want the Bills to pay James Cook. Outside of Allen, he's your best weapon. What if Dalton Kincaid? I listened to a little bit of the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. Josh Allen was on. And I listened predominantly to his segment this morning. And he mentioned Kincaid by name and the fact that he missed him for like wide open touchdowns 3 or 4 times. What if that worked? Kincaid doesn't pick up an injury, and their chemistry is better. The connection is better, and he has like 8 touchdowns compared to what he had, like 2 this year. Are we having these same conversations?
Right.
I think not, because that would prove the Bills have at least 1 or 2 high-end skill position players that maybe mean more to the quarterback. Maybe. I don't want to say that definitively, but maybe mean more to the quarterback, where James is good, but I'd rather my quarterback have the ball in his hands throwing it to Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid, if either hit. I think the fact that Keon, we never really got a full look into his rookie year, whether it be the injury or what have you. Kincaid, the injury as well. We didn't get the upgrade from year number 1 to year number 2. I think it has made James Cook far more valuable in the minds of many Bills fans. And to be fair, I have also said, I want him here at least this year because he's the only known commodity I have on the offense, really, outside of Josh Allen. But by week 5, that might not be true anymore.
I'm trying to look into like running backs with several thousand-yard seasons and when it starts to go wrong for them. And the answer is typically after you get to 3 or 4 of them in a row.
Yeah, it starts to fall off.
And then I looked at Christian McCaffrey. He's been in the NFL now for 8 years. However, injury has cut short several of his seasons. And he only has 4 seasons where he gets over 1,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's banged up a bunch of times.
I mean, to the point, and that he's, is going, a player he's going to Germany last year to figure himself out.
And right now, he's like one of the few players that's not injured at San Fran camp.
Mm-hmm.
But how effective is he?
Yeah, we don't really know the Chris McCaffrey you're getting anymore.
Is he done at this point? At age 29?
Yep. It's getting to that point already. Now, it's funny with McCaffrey, too, because he's a lot like the girly in the sense. And even and now, young guys, well, Jahmyr Gibbs, you're looking a lot at the total yards per scrimmage. He's also had some absurd years where he's over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, you know, double-digit touchdowns, what have you. And that's also a part of it for me. You know, Cook really should be the yards per scrimmage guy. And he's not at the top end for that. He's just, what did he have, 1,200 last year? Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
From yards from scrimmage? Almost 1,300. His second year actually pointed to he's a yards from, and he should be getting towards like 1,800 in the following year. Instead, he drops off by 300. He gains more touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. There is a positive there. But when I look at other young guys, most notably for me at least, we've already mentioned him in terms of that a shocking draft pick, Jahmyr Gibbs. In year two, he has 250 rushing attempts compared to James Cook's 207. He has 400 more yards rushing. He has 16 touchdowns. He has 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns.
And I think that is the difference, though, between a first-round talent and a second.
In which you traded back towards the end of the second
round. Yes. And then there's Derrick Henry. Because I just started looking at running backs that have been relevant through the recent scope of years. Henry has...
But I for
his
me,
first 2 years, he doesn't get to 1,000 yards mm-hmm. of total scrimmage yards. Then he never looks back. And there's only 1 year that he doesn't get to 1,000 rushing yards after this so far. Mm-hmm. And that's in 8 games when he has 937 yards. The dude is like
he's
when
inevitable.
I say test tube baby, it is the compliment of all compliments. I don't understand how he does it. And because I still don't know how to understand it, because it's not like Henry's a receiving back at all.
No, he's a total.
It is all on the ground.
He's a total
running
back.
He led the league.
Yeah.
He's led the league 4 times in carries.
Mm-hmm.
And he had another 325 this past year. I don't know. How do you do this? But even back in the day, okay, like when we're younger, running backs and in fantasy, it was, I do believe it was a Michael Turner that really came to light on like when you should start avoiding running backs. It was called the curse of 370 touches.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start avoiding a back, because the next year they're probably going to be broken down. Because again, when you're touching the football, you are being asked to go into a pile of humanity.
Now you do wonder though, with Cook, last year was 239. The year prior was 281. He's not getting up there. And that's where I think he could use that in a negotiation. I look at it more as the negative. He's not on the field enough.
That's the thing.
But other teams can look at and go, there's something there.
There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I could have. And that's why free agency is really going to be important for him. I think he gets the contract he wants. It's just not going to be here. I think it's the Bills understanding they can't pay what you want, but somebody will.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it.
Somebody might do it. It's just not going to be us. And it has to do more with we don't have room.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of threw it up on Twitter here. The Holden appears to maybe be over. And why do you believe that James Cook?
I love how uncertain you sounded on that.
Why do you think James Cook went back to practice? Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tom has an idea that is very similar to a tweet we read earlier, and it's, I think he sustained a mild injury where normally he would still practice, but with his contract situation, he chose quote-unquote business, which has been something that Cook has said multiple times. He likes his money. He stands on business, which was code for him not risking anything until he gets a deal done or the season starts. That's been a big thing for me, too, the season starts. I have never thought Cook was going to miss meaningful games. We know how I feel about preseason games. It simply does not matter to me. If Allen plays on Sunday or he doesn't, it doesn't change anything for me. The only thing that will change is if he does play, I will wait impatiently for him to leave the field.
I do love the variance of the comments underneath the tweet today, though.
Because no one knows. There's a fun way to go about it because no one knows.
No one knows. And again, it's fun to theorize, like I'd mentioned at the start of the show. But to get world champ bandits tweeting and he's bored and misses his friends.
It's totally understandable.
That's a That's a guys being dudes tweet, and I love it.
He just wants to get out there with the guys. That's it. He misses the boys. And we've all been there. I totally understand that.
Corey tweets, and he must have seen the rough cut of this week's episode, Gotta Save Face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I'm going to be looked at and painted as a villain. I don't want that. Man, I want a contract from another team. I'm back. Yeah, I don't – maybe.
It is funny, though, like, because he did return to practice today, there has been no news yet on if there's a contract or anything like that. I think practice
has wrapped up. And I doubt there will be.
And I doubt there will be. You do wonder, though, what Hard Knocks will look like tonight. Especially, we've all seen episode one. It painted the Bills in a really colorful light. It was overly positive. And I think many of us enjoyed it. I did it. I did in spades.
And the neutral fan is going to say, this is boring.
This is boring. But with Cook now being back at practice today, are they going to play that up a ton? Is this going to be the James Cook-centric episode? I know I'll be a little surprised if they get him to sit down and talk about this at length. I'll be very surprised. He's not Matt Milano levels of, like, if they got him to sit down for an interview, they've solved world peace. It's not going to be that. But it would be quite surprising if they got Cook to sit down and really talk about this in length. I could see his agent talking if they really got him to sit down for it. But I said it with Sal when he joined us earlier today. I just don't totally see this ending yet.
And that's the thing that we, like, when you said it, like you read it, you sounded so uncertain about it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because everything about this has taken turns that we have not expected. I heard the agitation in Sean McDermott's voice on Saturday, and I thought, oh, this is going to get worse before it gets better. But I know that in my heart of hearts, he's not going to miss the regular season. I was on down the road with our sister station in Rochester, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester, yesterday. And they asked, when is this going to... Is this going to leak over into the season? No. Yeah. I still believe that. Absolutely not. He would not cost himself actual game checks at that point. And if you miss week one, are you going to really get the lion's share of the carries coming back? No, you're going to get broken into live action slower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to cost you more money. That is the other part of it. No, this is not going to... We know that there's a finite deadline. Really.
Yeah.
And again, if not, fire the agent. Because then you're getting terrible advice.
Yeah, it, especially as a running back. If you get to the point where you're missing games on what would be a year before free agency...
That's terrible advice if you're getting that. And fire the agent if he's giving that to you. Because he's doing you a misservice.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Cole's the one who's missed quite a bit of time, again, just like last year. So, you know, it remains to be seen what he's truly able to do and do for us. And, you know, that's a big position for us, right? So, and then, like I mentioned, numerous times over, the continuity between the two of them, you know, kind of like the Batman and Robin piece, like it's just experiencing things together. How did you see it? How did I see it? Being in the film room together, it's huge, and we're getting short on time.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott earlier today before practice, there he is talking about Cole Bishop. That is maybe the other storyline from today. James Cook being back in the field is the biggest one, no doubt. Bishop also back on the field, limited today. You could tell, though, listening to McDermott there in that clip and throughout, you know, his meeting with the media this morning, he is at best on edge about the injuries and to specific players as well. Like him talking about Bishop there, I know Nate Geary, who you hear all the time on the station, especially during Bills games, you know, he mentioned that there's a pretty good chance here that Bishop just might be a bust, flat out of the fact he can't stay on the field. But it has gotten to a point, knowing, I can't remember if it's Hyde or Poyer that Sal's brought up, that it took them like 2 years to fully understand this. I believe it's Hyde.
Yep.
Bishop has not been on the field. It hurt them last year. He missed 3 weeks with a shoulder injury. He could never catch up to a safety room that – and we talked about this with the DBs, with the corners. A safety room that was sort of begging for help. It was doing the job. It was not great. Hamlin is a nice piece to have as a backup, but I saw Jeremy tweeting this morning – or talking in this morning with the chat. I think PFF had him rated as like the 89th ranked safety or 85th ranked safety out of like 93.
Yeah,
that's good for you've got to play a few plays or a game or two because of injuries. That is not what you should be trotting out there for 17 games. Bishop never could make up the ground after he missed camp. It was only 3 weeks, but those were valuable reps. McDermott talks about that a lot. He never made up that ground. And now this year, he picks up a quad injury. He's missed almost the same amount of time. I think he's missed like 2 weeks. Right. And Rapp has been injured as well, and he talked about it there. The Batman and Robin, they're not picking up the most, you know, the valuable enough time. We don't know what Bishop can be. We talk about it in the positive sense. It could be like Terrell Bernard 2 years ago. Barely played in the preseason at all, or at camp at all. Didn't play in the preseason. And yet week one, you're like, okay, I get why they trusted him to be out there.
But we've seen Bishop, he hasn't grasped it right away. It wasn't a Terrell Bernard thing. And his first action in the NFL that he gets to play in.
Due to injuries,
and finally coming back from his, we see something that we haven't seen in like 3 years from the Bills, which is getting torched deep.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top. That's something that rarely happens with the Bills.
And then after that game, he plays 100% of the snaps in that week five game against Houston. 0. 4.1, 0, 1.6, 7.8, 0, 0, 0. Then it picks up at the end of the year. 59.5, 100, 100, 57.8, 0, 66.1. And then he starts the AFC Championship because Taylor Rapp is hurt. He never really caught up. He just didn't. He plays 71.9, by the way, in the loss to Baltimore. I think that was due to injuries. He had to come in. So it wasn't even starting then. He starts the year at 7.9, 19.7. And again, this is just the snap count percentage. But he never really could catch up until the end of the year. The hope was, okay, the rookie year's behind him. He really started to play late. Now we go into this season and he's rocking and rolling. We talked about it before camp where it's like him and Rapp. Maybe they're going to finally get Rapp into his more comfortable role. We just haven't been able to see it.
Could you see on cutdown day if a notable safety is available, that the Bills kick the tires on that? If Bishop is not the starter week one,
they should. I think you know what you get in Hamlin and Rapp to a certain extent, Derek Forrest, but he hasn't done anything. I will also say they did sign a safety today. Trey Herndon. Now that could be just due to the fact of they need to have bodies out there. Derek Forrest may have picked up an injury or they just kind of want to have more out there. But this is also where you're hoping Jordan Hancock, who one of the few times today that McDermott did not seem agitated, was talking about Hancock. They haven't actually found a position for him, and that's a good thing because he's played well at corner and safety.
Yeah, because it means that he's not lost in either one of them. He was mm-hmm. one of the better Bills in that game against the Giants. I would start looking more at safety with him based on availability and the depth that you have at corner.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're back to, as well, a conversation we had at the time of the draft when the Malachi Starks stuff was coming out and like, oh, could the Bills reach at safety? I think we're already at a point, even if Bishop hits, you probably need to put higher-end assets into that position. Because if is not there, it seems like the house of cards is falling for them. And you can also hear how agitated McDermott is.
It doesn't help that Taylor Rapp plays such a physical style that he's going to remove himself from the lineup at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that happens with him. It's the style. Like Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
You know that Taron Johnson is not going to play a full season because he plays a physical style that his size doesn't like to agree with.
Yeah, size is not a big fan of it.
He's loved for it, but
it's great.
It's why he misses a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily the Bills, they get him back typically.
Yes.
But when you get older, that's going to stop being as frequent. The return is not going to be as rapid. Taylor Rapp is the same way. He's a thumper. Thumper-style guy who has more range. Hamlin is a thumper as well, but Hamlin's also purely a box safety.
Mm-hmm.
And for a team that wants to play a little bit more of that too high a lot, a box safety is not ideal.
Just not.
It's not.
Just not.
It's why the Bills are kind of susceptible to the run game. They like to make sure that they don't get beat deep.
Mm-hmm.
They love playing a too high set. They have incorporated a little bit more man last year, but they love playing a too high set.
Like a lot of the league.
Like a lot of the league. Because they know that if you're facing a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, I'm not letting you get the easy one. You gotta earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Bills have infamously been bend, don't break, because eventually an extended drive falls short. Or a lengthy drive that starts inside an opponent's 10-yard line fizzles out right before field goal range. Like, those are things that happen. It is statistics. It's also why they need to be better on third down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play that style, you do need to make sure you end drives.
And not just with turnovers.
And not just with turnovers.
You can't rely on it. I know that the defensive statistics
they do it every year, which is weird.
It's also not a way that it works, because you need that every game. And that's just, we see it in the AFC Championship. We see it in games against the Mahomes-led Chiefs. It does not happen often. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have some injury news from Bills practice.
I was just going to say it, and it's making me upset. So you could say it.
Left tackle Deion Dawkins did leave practice with athletic trainers today. No indication of what the injury was. He did not return. Could also beat nothing.
I know. But can I say it again that this preseason, this training camp has been hell itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, because we didn't even mention it there. I mean, Cole Bishop has not been out there. But as we brought up, he missed most of the camp for his rookie year. Harrison has become that this year with the LCL sprain. He has missed most of camp. It has not been a good time for them with injuries. They have not had anything drastic, season-ending, crippling to the roster. No. But they have had very, very frustrating runs of injuries here where it's 10, 12 guys out. None of them are season injury. None of them maybe even are going to stop certain guys from playing week one. But they are missing valuable reps and time where they need to build chemistry. They need to build a rapport. That's where Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp come in. Harrison battling for cornerback two. How much are you really going to get out of Trey White? He's looked good in camp, but with his age, with the injuries he's picked up, how long will that go for before it's, yeah, they're going to just pick on him. Opposing teams are just going to pick on him, and they're going to say, to hell with Bishop, to hell with Benford, we're just going to go over here. We kind of saw it in the Giants game. Now, they don't really game plan for specific teams, but you do wonder how long that's going to last. And for Harrison missing as much time as he has, it may have to last longer than we all want.
Yeah, I just – more than ever, can we get ourselves to September, please? And I don't like the idea, the mindset, because I had it a couple of years ago. You talked me off the ledge of it, of like, can we just get to January?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to appreciate the season as it goes.
Want to enjoy it?
I have nothing to appreciate about this preseason. It has been nothing but mean to me.
Mm-hmm. They haven't had the disastrous season ender, anything like that, and knock on wood, right? But it has been incredibly frustrating, you know. Josh Palmer has missed some time as well. He has not always been able to take part in team activities. You have the Cook hold-in. Your offensive line, Spencer Brown, deals with the back flare-up to start the year. Now we've got the Deion Dawkins situation. We don't even know how bad that is. And then everything on defense. Funny enough, the two guys you may be most worried about because they have picked up injuries recently, Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, been completely fine.
I would think, though, if you're still with, like... It's the fact that he didn't return at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was still holding his helmet, according to Sal's tweet. But like, I don't know what to think. I don't want to overreact to Deion Dawkins, but also, I want nothing touching Deion Dawkins.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of the topic of today has been also James Cook. We moved a little bit over to the defense here, but we'll go back to Twitter, and we'll get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. After holding in, why do you believe James Cook is back at practice? Sean tweets in, the real answer, I think, is he realized after the Kyren contract, Kyren Williams of the Rams, that he wasn't going to get much higher than that. Genuine progress was made, and as a show of good faith, he's back. I think that is a good theory there, and I don't say theory as, you know, disparaging it, but it's all we really have is theories. That's something I've thought about, is that once the progress stalled, that's when the hold-in began. The Bean comments afterwards make it sound like they weren't really that close on a deal, but they could have been having constant conversations, and that allowed him to go out there, and if the conversations ended, he wasn't going to go out there.
Right.
This could be a sign that the conversations have restarted. McDermott even said kind of in his press conference as well, they've got new information, there's movement, what have you, and then Cook is out there in full practicing. Neither of us expect a contract announcement. But I think Sean is probably spot on here as well, that this is a show of good faith. The negotiations have restarted, or at least are making good progress. I think that's a really good way to look at it, and I think it's probably, without outright knowing, the closest to the truth.
And just so that everyone knows, James Cook declined to speak to reporters after practice.
Unsurprising. I'm telling you, if I see today on Hard Knocks that he's speaking with the media, I'll be absolutely floored. If he speaks with Hard Knocks today longer than 5 seconds, I'll be floored.
Right.
They've got a lot of quiet guys on this team, and that's fine. They've got a lot of like loud guys, too, and that's no issue. Dawkins, Josh, like they're big personalities. But Milano, Cook, not so much.
They don't like even using words where there's microphones nearby.
Could you – seriously, though, HBL sits him down, and they're doing it like on the bleachers like they did with Allen where, you know, to start up the season. Could you imagine them sitting James Cook down and going,
no.
Hey, so the contract negotiates and stuff, just walk us through that.
No.
Just walk us through like
I don't even think they
mindset.
Get
– No shot.
That picture you're trying to paint right now, it's not real.
No shot.
Even in your imagination – like, as you're describing it, the other side is, like, fizzling away like Thanos snap.
Yeah, no shot it happens. I will tell you, the one thing I've had a real issue with Cook throughout this whole process is, man, it's 90. Take the beanie off. It is so hot out. And he's look, it looks cool in the picture until I'm like, I've walked outside. It's hotter than the surface of the sun. And he's wearing a beanie and sunglasses. Just wear the sunglasses, man. It's too hot. And it's not like he's got a full head of hair, too. It's toasty underneath that hat.
Hang on.
That's my only issue. I'm worried about his health.
No. I'm not worried about that at all. You want to know why? James Cook is from Florida.
He changed it super hot.
No. Ready? That's normal.
I mean, I have seen people in Florida do weird things.
Also, it's this plus humidity down there right now. Hell itself.
I know, but like wait like a month.
Nope.
It's not even that long.
Ready?
Just wait like a month. You can wear the beanie and sunglasses.
It probably doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect him the way it affects us. Because of the fact that he's from Florida.
I don't know. Speaking of Florida.
Florida.
The weird things
I don't know how some, like, and I know we have some listeners that are from Florida. I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I don't.
Oh, I can get there. I like
absolutely
the heat, don't
not.
Get me wrong. It's the stuff that, like, when my family have taken Disney vacations and I see someone had to buy their new hoodie, in July they decide to wear it the moment they walk out of the store. Or people with, like, the work boots walking around the parks. I'm like, what is going on? Now, I'm going in December this year, so it's probably going to be a little different.
No, ready?
But that, like, radicalized me towards
even in December.
Ridiculousness.
Still. Like, you could not catch me in long sleeves, even, like, light long sleeves in December in Florida. Not a chance.
I don't know. Still, it's 90 degrees out and the beanie's out.
No. Like, that's, to me, that's a Florida kid.
I understand the
fashion
statement. That's a
Florida kid through and – that's a Florida kid through and through.
Mm. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 12 o'clock, Sabres Live.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dave. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here. We'll get you over to Sabres Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One story I do want to bring up here, and top of last hour we brought up college football. We're going to do that here again.
And
this is a story up until this morning I thought was fake.
I could not stop laughing when I saw this.
I thought it was fake, full-blown. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Oklahoma quarterback, transfer in quarterback, John Mateer, apparently is in a bit of a scandal, as back in 2022 when he was still at Washington State, he Venmo'd a buddy of his, sports gambling, UCLA versus USC, and another Venmo payment of sports gambling. We don't know the actual amount. Obviously, it's Venmo. But this was from the 2022 season, and it appears to be legit.
And his profile picture is him in a Washington State jersey.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Dude.
I will tell you, though, I didn't know this was legit until this morning when I saw college football like on 3 tweet about it, and they had an Oklahoma reporter on to talk about it. I didn't know this was legit. I thought it was, well, BS. And like SEC fans, you know, there is that we're just going to, you know, kind of screw around, what have you. No, it's legit. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I can't. Like, how do you – if you're going to put the actual reason for a payment on Venmo where everybody can see it, either put it on private or have a code word, I'm not –
yeah, I'm honestly,
I can't, you can't, like, there's got to be a receipt with a transaction number or something, my guy. Like, you can't do that.
I do wonder, though, too, and just listen to a quick
clip.
Andy Staples was talking with the reporter for Oklahoma, whose name I cannot remember, but it was basically, like, the premise of, you know, back in 2022, he was a 3-star recruit from a small town in Texas going to Washington State. Did he maybe not understand the rules of, like, you can't gamble on college football? Look, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't. I also find that absurd. I find that just flat out absurd.
I'm with you on the fact, like, this has to be fake. There's no way you can be that. I'm trying to be nice, but I'm trying to find the word for it. But it also needs this word. Dense.
Well,
how can you be that dense?
Yeah, and this is on 3. This is the report that I saw this morning. Oklahoma is aware of the John Mateer Venmo transaction and is handling it. The reporter, George Stoya of the Sooner Scope, reports Mateer made it clear to the school that he has never gambled, which is technically true if we're going off of the Venmos, because he'd just be sending his buddy money to maybe do it for him.
And
again, this is all reportedly. We don't know anything about this. It's all kind of coming out in the last 12 or so hours. Again, I thought it was fake up until this morning.
And ready? Since then, he has scrubbed it.
Oh, so it's legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, is there anything I would say necessarily, like, could there be a lot of things worse, obviously, than this? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know the rules, then don't put it out there for everybody to see it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Because, ready? Here's another one. Because it's also on there. November 23rd, 2022. John Mateer is paid for Ultra Sports Gambling FIFA World Cup.
Oh my goodness. Dude.
Zach, every day I question, where is the real threshold for the intelligence of humanity? And every day I am baffled about it.
Yep. And then last thing here before we get going, Bills quarterback Josh Allen is speaking with the media, and this is from Joe Biscaglia. He had this on James Cook. Quote, "As players, we sometimes have to separate the business in this sport. I know both sides thought they were doing the right thing. I'm just very happy he's out there." No word yet on if there is a contract extension for James Cook or if just the hold-in period of this negotiation is over. We'll find out in the coming hours or the coming days. But that'll do it for me and Derek. Coming up after a quick timeout, get a little hockey talk in as Sabres Live follows this timeout. You're listening to WGR.